So not many people have or take the opportunity to see the centre of Australia. And when environmental issues aren't seen or felt by the majority of the population, they sometimes, sadly, get ignored. But Paul Harmon, in his new exhibition, Watermarks, takes us through to takes us there with an innovative use of technology, drones and creativity. The work in Watermarks are a response to the climate change-driven drought along the Murray-Darling Basin, traditionally owned by the Parkinjali Ngambi and sorry, I'm totally butchering this, Whale One Nations. We have Paul on the line to help tell us a little bit more about Watermarks and how the exhibition came to life. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Nicole. How are you? I have trouble with those names.
Okay, great. I can't really type it out phonetically because I don't know how, but yeah. But obviously important to mention nonetheless.
Yes, yes. It's it was also a huge pleasure to work with them too. So, but it's hard.
Yeah, I'm excited to ask you a little bit more about that in a bit. But to start off with, can you tell us about how Watermarks as a concept all started? What drew you to northwestern New South Wales?
Well, it's really interesting how these programs, these art projects develop. Originally, I was drawn there through an aesthetic that I saw from investigations through Google satellite view, and I saw all these structures and these kind of interesting abstractions that I wanted to capture. I had a drone, and I had to figure out how I could get to these structures because they were much larger than I was able to do with your standard height of 120 meters, which is a ceiling for safety for drones. But I kind of figured out a way of doing that. We shoot like 150 up to 150 photographs to make one image that had an apparent height of 2 or 3 kilometers. But so we went out there with, I went out with a painter friend of mine, Tristan, and he was there looking for references for painting, and I was there looking for these photographs. And we realized halfway through the trip that everything that I had been drawn to and had done the research on was water related. In fact, it was Tristan that made that observation. And then when I came back and I showed the finished work to Sandy Edwards, who is a prominent Sydney gallerist and curator, she was excited about the work, and she put me in touch with Feli McHugh, who is a Nyemba man from Brewarrina, and from there I met other people, and I was just invited into that community, ended up with all of their support, and then the work became an essay, which has the catch line, the contrast between the beauty from the air and the ugly truths on the ground of stolen water, stolen land. And I, you know, it was a journey for me into country and into learning, and, you know, the whole project just had a life of its own and became what it became on its own steam, I guess.
How was it working with and coordinating with First Nations people? Whose country you shot these images over, as you just mentioned?
You know, it was. Some of them were brought me in. Every single person that saw what I was doing wanted to help, and that was the amazing thing. And into two of these areas, I was actually brought in by the people. The rest of them, I had already shot the images, but the ranking elders, I guess, of each area, when they understood the context of what I was doing, wrote letters of support for the project. There's a great sadness out there, not just the Indigenous people, but in fact even the smaller landowners are just feeling the crunch, and it's not just climate change driven. It's also about the huge mismanagement in the Murray-Darling Basin and the fact that these massive water allotments have been held upstream to cotton farms that should never really be there.
Can you unpack, for those of us who don't know, the mismanagement that is occurring? And also, there was the Royal Commission, and where are we at with that, essentially?
Well, I'm no political expert, so you're talking to somebody who it has a keen interest, but not a in-depth understanding. But there's a $12 billion was allocated for the Murray-Darling Basin plan to get environmental flow back into the system. And really, it hasn't worked. First of all, there's been a whole lot of illegal tampering with measuring equipment, which has been well documented now, and is, as I understand it, is part of the report. But effectively, there is little that can be seen from the massive expenditure we've done so far. I would like to sort of enumerate those as I understand them, but because I don't really have facts at my hands, I feel reticent to do that on air. But there's been a lot of mismanagement, and there's a lot of work to be done to get any kind of semblance of a working, healthy water system back.
Is your work Watermarks kind of, how does this visually try and bring these issues to light for the people of Sydney?
Well, look, these works are huge scale. I mean, we have got, because we used up to 150 images for each shot, the actual detail in these works, which are up to 2.4 meters wide,
wow,
are astounding. And each image in itself has an aesthetic statement to make. So when I'm told that they're quite effective, I guess I'm not there to judge, but they are starkly beautiful, and like almost like abstract paintings. Some of them are very redolent of the kind of images which the Indigenous people have made without me trying to do anything, because it's just inherent in the landscape. So there's this stark beauty, but each one has a story to tell as well, and that story sits beside each photograph. So you've got this beautiful, stark grandeur of the Australian outback, but it's played out in a landscape which is being degraded, blown away by erosion, created by cloven hooved, introduced species like sheep and cattle that really don't belong there, that have destroyed the landscape. There's stories of farmers who have decided that they'll try and reclaim some of it, and have come up with innovative ways, small people making huge differences, of creating little six-inch high ponds that they seed into, and you can see from space. There's so many of them,
wow,
and very few people know about that. There's just a lot of, it's a big story, and it's of the moment. I mean, I can't say I was lucky for this to happen, because that fish kill that happened is in the lakes. It's just horrible. But we're able, through this exhibition, to bring the story from a different point of view to the public, and I'm very happy that this work is being able to lend a little bit more to the debate.
Definitely. And by bringing this work to the public, what are you kind of hoping people take away from it, or what comes out of it?
Look, I mean, again, both things. The work is meant to be aesthetically pleasing, but I'm also hoping people will just think a bit more. I mean, we live in a world that's full of context, and we are, I don't think anyone can really point fingers, or should point fingers. As people, we all like to throw a lamb on the Barbie. We all like to wear cotton clothes. It's a problem of civilization, and it's a problem of us trying to find a way to sit within the limited world that we have, with the population we have, and make it work, not just for ourselves, but into the future. And we just need to think about these things, and we need to come up with solutions. And, I don't think it's about blame, although I think there are blame, people to blame, but I think that that's not the real discussion. The discussion has to be about solutions.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and I hope that the exhibition goes well.
Well, I hope it opens up at 2 o'clock today. If anyone wants to get out there, it'd be fabulous. There's some plonk and some food there, and it's open until the 23rd of March. And it's a big exhibition, and it's a wonderful space at the Casula Powerhouse. And this work has had international recognition. Now it's been published all around the world, And, you know, it's for sale, and you can find me at www.thinkingpictures.com.au if anybody's interested.